是的。Yeah, I gotta sit down. I can't hardly function. I'm not doing too good lately. I started to call and say I'm not coming. Anyway, we left off in Hebrews chapter 11. That I remember. And around verse 20. Of course, we talked about Abraham quite a bit, and Brother Charlie, I think, covered him a pretty good bit, too, the other night, so I think we can go on. In verse 20, I got to get my bearing here. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, I think perhaps we should go back and read a little bit about that. In Genesis chapter 27, and if you remember that whole incident, it says here by faith he did that, but remember it was kind of a deception going on in that, if you remember right, in Genesis. And so it doesn't say by mistake Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, but it says by faith. So how do we reconcile that when we read about what happened? I think we can see that eventually. But concerning Esau and Jacob, you might want to read Romans chapter 9. They are mentioned there in verses 10 through and 13, right? And of course, and I'm a little shaky in my voice and everything. Y'all just going to have to bear with me. My mind's working, but my voice ain't. I don't even know if my mind's working, to tell you the truth. Romans chapter 9. But this has been quoted a million times in this church, for sure. It's not quoted very often anywhere else, so. It says in verse 10, not only this, but when Rebekah had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, verse 10, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stir, not a voice but him that called. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And that was said unto her, right? That was definitely said unto her. And I think that relates to the passage of scripture in that we're going to go read in Genesis. In fact, Brother Keith, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 27, and I'll let you read it because of my voice. But it was said of her that Jacob had, I'm sorry. Where was I at? Verse 10, yeah. For the children being not yet born, I read that. But him that called it was said of her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Where was that written at? Malachi, right?
Don't say Genesis 27.
Yeah, I want you to go read that. But in Romans, when he says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, he said it's written. That's written in the Old Testament, right? And it's written in Malachi. If you can, we don't have to go read it, but if you go read Malachi verses 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, you'll see it written there. And you know, and the Jews said, well, wherein hast thou loved? It wasn't Esau Jacob's brother.
Right.
And yet I loved
Jacob
and hated Esau and laid his mountain to rest, and you can go read it. But so anyway, so that kind of fits. But in Genesis chapter 27, go read that, Brother Keith. Start verse 1. Just read the...
Read verse 1. Read what? The whole chapter?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you,
but
I'll go read it then.
No, man, I can read it. I'm there. How many verses do you want me to read?
Well, I don't know.
Just stop me when you want me to.
Yeah.
And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. He said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take up for thee thy weapons, quiver, bow, go to the field, take me some vessels. Make me a staff of meat, such as I love, bring it to me, that I may eat. And that my soul may bless thee before I die.
Notice that. That I may bless thee, right?
Yes.
Keep on going.
Yes. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt venison for him to bring it. Genesis 27. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me some venison, make me some meat, that I may eat, bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, make me some two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death.
So what do you think's going on here? Some conniving, huh?
There's a lot of conniving.
A lot of conniving.
Conspiracy or whatever.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But remember, the Lord told Rebekah that Jacob.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so.
When they were born.
Yeah, right. Before, right. So, anyway, keep on.
Verse 11. Yeah. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, the hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father's peradventure will fill me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver.
And he was.
And I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. His mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fished and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved, and Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. It probably didn't fit him too good. I'm just thinking they probably too big on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, and she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. She gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared in the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn.
Liar.
Liar and deception. I have done according as thou bade me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, slide again, that thy soul may bless me.
Me.
And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly? He said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Another lie.
This is a problem. Well, there's a lot of trickery going on here. Lies about the lie, huh?
And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be buried, my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands.
So he blessed him.
And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he will go lying again. And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, kiss me, my son. He came near and he kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed.
I've heard people say that's the missing link.
Uh-huh.
Monkey and man. I've heard people say that's the missing link, Esau.
Missing link?
Yeah, you know, evolution.
Oh, okay.
Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee.
That's quite a blessing he gave him right there, isn't it?
Cursed be everyone that cursed thee. Blessed be he that blessed thee. Keep reading?
Yeah, keep reading.
And he also had made, savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise, eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, boy, I missed something. Yeah, this verse 30 came to pass. As soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, that Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. And he bade him to me and said, arise and eat of my venison, that you may bless me. Verse 32, and Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am the son, the firstborn Esau.
And notice verse 33 too.
And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, thou be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now behold now he's taken away my blessing. And he said, may thou not preserve a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by the sword shalt thou live.
Look at these next words.
And shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt count the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck.
Verse 41 is probably less good enough. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessings wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of my mourning of my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob.
Yes.
So I guess the point is, you know, it was a lot of conniving going on. He, you know, they deceived him. But in the end, he stuck with it. In other words, he didn't say, oops, I messed up, and, you know, we're going to change all that.
Yeah.
I think he trembled. I think Pete pointed out that his trembling was the fact that he remembered that what had been said to his wife, that the younger shall serve the elder. And so he realized at that time, oh, you know, I messed up, and he wouldn't change any of this. And so all the faith part comes about in these last verses, where he tells Esau, you're going to serve him. He didn't change it. He said, you're going to serve him, and he would not change the blessing. So I think even though, I guess what I'm trying to say, even though he was deceived, and Esau, Jacob supplanted him, or whatever his name means that, and he deceived his dad, yet it mentions his faith here, doesn't it? It doesn't talk about all his shortcomings, but it shows that by faith he did bless Jacob. And so I think that's why I had you read all that, just show that, you know, it was an act of faith in the end, wasn't it? It wasn't totally deception, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, back in Hebrews. So, anyway, we had remembered that. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, is where God had told Rebekah that the eldest of seven younger. So, anyway, I think she certainly remembered it. And I think he probably remembered it after he realized what was going on, too. And so by faith, he did bless him. It says here, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And so he did. And we can go on. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, in verse 21, by faith, Jacob, who was called Israel, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, we got to go read Genesis now. Okay, this looks back to Genesis a lot. And so Jacob blessed the two sons of Joseph, and by faith, he does something that Joseph didn't quite want. If you go read turn to Genesis chapter 48, Brother Keith, since you're doing such a fine job there. Yeah, Genesis chapter 48. I don't know what verses. Let's see here. If you don't go back and read this and get the picture of what was going on, it's hard to understand what it means when he says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. So, he blessed both sons, right? And worship, right? Verse 14 and 19 to 20 is the ones I want you to really see. But, yeah, we got to read all of it, I guess.
All right. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, our father is sick, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and set upon him.
Because Israel is Jacob, right?
Yeah. He, you know why they changed that scripture right there in that same verse from Jacob to Israel?
Why in that verse? I don't know. Why do you think?
I'm just saying what you.
Well, Jacob is his name. The Lord changed his name to Israel.
He told Jacob, and then instead of Jacob strengthening himself, he told Jacob and Israel strengthened himself. Set upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. I'll make of thee a multitude of people and will give this land to thy seed after thee for everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine.
What does that mean? Are mine as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, sir.
Hmm?
That they will serve him. They'll be servants of God. They'll
be the chosen,
worship God.
Well, yeah, and they would end up being two tribes, like, in other words, not grandchildren, but like sons. In other words, they end up being two tribes, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, the other sons. Okay, you're here.
And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren
and their inheritance.
And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephraim. And I buried her there in the way of Ephraim, the same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. It's kind of like Isaac.
Hmm?
It's kind of like Isaac. Isaac couldn't see.
See what
didn't see,
huh?
Yeah. He said, what was that? He could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near.
Now that's important right there, right? What you just read in that verse is right. It's important because Joseph was putting them in a position so that one's on Israel's right hand and the other one's on his left hand. So keep on reading.
I guess the one on the right hand should be the eldest son.
Yeah, and so what does Israel do?
Oh,
okay. Next verse.
And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly.
Notice that, guiding his hands wittingly.
From
he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, and Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, blessed the lads, and let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, and these shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before
Manasseh. And that's probably good enough. And the point is, see, so it says here that in our verse that by faith he did this. So this was not any kind of blind thing or kind of going back with what took place with the previous verse. So it says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning on his staff. So he did this by faith. In other words, he guided his hands and he switched his hands, but he did it by faith because he knew, evidently. Does anybody know why one was?
I guess the Lord revealed it to him because he said, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and another case of the younger.
He made a mistake.
He knew it was.
He didn't stop and say, wait just a minute, what you saying?
this is, who is, I thought, no, he said, I know it.
Yeah, because he said he did it willingly. He knew exactly what he was doing.
I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. So maybe the, I think the Lord revealed that to him.
So anyway, he I think he did that, and he says he and worship leaning on the top of his staff. I'm not sure what that means. I read on that a little bit, and one idea was it was a complete New Testament revelation, or else it's probably referring back to chapter 47, verse 31. If you go look back and read the last few verses of chapter 47. Verse 29, and the time drew nigh that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put I pray thee thy hand under my thigh and do kindly and truly with me, bury me not, I pray, in Egypt. Now here's a man, you know, he said he didn't want to be buried in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me. And he swore unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Now, I don't know if that bowing himself upon the bed's head, if that's what this is referring to, and worship. So I don't know. Maybe it is, if anybody else has got any thoughts on the old moment to it. Well, but it says,
sir, he was crippled because of the wrestling with the angel that night. So after he was crippled, he walked with the staff all the time. So whenever he worshipped or whatever he did, he had to lean on the staff because God took his total man strength away from him. He didn't have the power because of the seal in his leg was messed up. So he had to lean on the staff almost from there on out.
And probably he didn't remain leaning in bed. He got out of his bed leaning on his staff. Like, I don't want to stay here. You know, in other words, I don't want to be buried here. I want to be buried in Canaan land, right? And if I remember right, he had bought a parcel of land there.
Yep.
To, I think that's where he buried his wife.
Yep.
Anyway, so verse 22, we can go on. It says, by faith, Joseph. Now, we just read about Joseph, right? About the two sons of Joseph. Of course, Joseph is a lot younger there, and his dad died. But here it goes on, and he mentions Joseph now. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. That's interesting, his bones. So, now think about Joseph. He was, what, second to Pharaoh? I mean, he had it made in Egypt, right? And his sons had it made in Egypt too, I would think, you know. And so things were going pretty good for old Joseph. But he gave command concerning his bones. He made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. That word make mention means to remember. So he remembered. Now what is he remembering? Well, he's remembering the promises that were made to his fathers, right? So his mind is looking back to the promise that the Lord had made unto Abraham. Really, is what it's looking back. And so he made mention or remembered, signifies that Joseph testified of his faith to the children of Israel. In other words, he knew that something's going to happen eventually. And so more than 200 years have passed, from what I have down here, since God has spoken what is recorded in Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 through 16, of the part where he promised to Abraham. And he says here that they would serve the Egyptians and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, I think that's in Genesis chapter 15, but I think if you go read that, it just says that they would, dwell in a land that's not theirs 400 years, and they would be afflicted, etc. Then the nation that would persecute them in the end. It doesn't mean that they were, that Egypt persecuted them 400 years. If you go pick that up, I researched this years ago, and I can't remember how I got to the conclusion, but it was 430 years probably from the time that Abraham, that promise was made to Abraham until they came out of Egypt. And I think this, it says it in, what is it, Exodus? I think it talks about 430 years. And then Gil says it was 400 years from the birth of Isaac to they left Egypt. I don't know. You can research that for yourself. Okay. So anyway, it says here by faith, he said this, okay? In Genesis chapter 15, verses 14 and 16, it says, eventually it says, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. In the fourth generation, this is what Joseph was looking to. Okay, so his faith looked to that promise. I have down here Genesis chapter 50, verses 1 through 26. More reading, huh, Brother Keith?
Brother John, you
want to
read that?
I'll read it.
I don't mind reading. I'll
huh?
Let the reader read it if he wants. You
want to
read it,
Brother
John?
Well, I don't know if you want to read all that. In verses, we spend too much time reading that. This is where Joseph went and buried his father. And the Egyptians mourned for him. Well, so you can see here in the beginning that the Egyptians had great respect for Joseph and the Jews and Jacob, and so all the house. I mean, they let him go up and bury him in where he had wanted to be buried, right? And the Egyptians mourned for him, and then they and all. Well, anyway, you can read all that. And,
what verse you want me to read?
Well, verse 14, I guess. And Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. So now all of a sudden they're worried about Joseph paying them back, you know. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren, and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy, of the servants of God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are thy will be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. So Joseph recognized the sovereignty of God in all this stuff, you know. And he didn't have any heart fear to stem at all, did he? Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children of Machir and the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brother, I die, and God will surely visit you. So here, this is the words of faith right here, right? He is speaking in words of faith. And Joseph said unto his brother, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
Yes.
And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and will carry, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now, it was embalmed, but he said, I guess what I'm trying to point out is that Joseph doesn't have his eyes on this kingdom that he's second in command in, you know, but he's got his faith is looking to that promise that is made to his people.
Right.
And so he says, when you leave, take my bones with you. He don't want his bones even left in Egypt. So that's quite a
And just think about, I mean, everything's going fine in Egypt, isn't it?
That's faith there.
That's faith. That's exactly right. So he gave commandment concerning his bones. Okay. And I tell you what, then afterward they're going to come out with great substance too. Think about that. They're going to be persecuted and yet they're going to come out with great substance.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be an act of faith there. This is to believe that. And so he gave commandment concerning his bones. I think, why bones and not his body? I think perhaps that I had down here it looked to the fact that this would happen long into the future. In other words, I think I had down here another 2 centuries must pass before this actually takes place. So that's why he's saying bones, because you know, I might be so deteriorated there's just be a bunch of bones left. Of course, they embalmed him, so I don't know. But anyway, but he didn't want to be. He didn't want his body left in Egypt. Now I know, you know, I understand the Lord can resurrect us any old place, you know. And we've talked about that in the past, you know.
Right.
What happens to people that get buried at sea or something, and you know, get eaten by animals or something like that? The Lord won't have no problem resurrecting them. But I think what it is, though, Joseph's faith looked to the promised land and knew that Egypt was, or the children of Israel would be brought out of Egypt into that land eventually, and so he wanted his body there, and I think it looks to the resurrection too, you know.
Correct.
And because you know we went and examined all that stuff about the resurrection, it didn't say we would get replaced by another body. It says when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So this body, I know it, I don't understand it, but this body will be raised.
Correct.
And not replaced. A resurrection is not a replacement of this body, but it's a resurrection of this body. And so I think by faith he looked to the resurrection. Okay, verse 23. Now there's a lot about Moses. Now verse 23 is not about the faith of Moses, is it? By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now it's not, this verse is not talking about the faith of Moses, but the faith of his parents, right? Because the next verse is going to talk about the faith of Moses, verse 24. But these are the faith of his parents. Now of course the time frame of this, well, in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, I think it is, another king arose who knew not Joseph. So all of a sudden things have changed quite a bit. You know, that other Pharaoh, he and Joseph were buddy-buddy, right? But this Pharaoh didn't know Joseph. So you can read about that in Exodus chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Now, that Pharaoh had given orders to the midwives that every male child born to the Hebrews was to be slain at birth. You can read that in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Okay? But in Exodus verse 17, it says, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the children alive. That's in Exodus chapter 1, verse 17. We don't read it, but we spent so much time reading already, I thought we'd just go on. Now, who are these midwives? I don't know. I read what Gil said about it. He thought they were probably Hebrews. And that makes more sense than any of it. Because it says,
the Egyptians wouldn't want to deal, the Egyptian women or midwives wouldn't want to deal with the Israelites, the Hebrew women. They would shun those.
They would shun the Egyptian midwives?
No, the Egyptian midwives would shun the slaves.
Oh, the Hebrews.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't the Hebrews servants to the Egyptians?
Yep.
So it would be an order. Hey, you come over here and take care of these little kids, but you are servants. Wouldn't that be an order? So it would be Hebrews, I would think, sir.
Go back. What is it? Exodus chapter 1? I think this.
Somebody said it was his mother.
Hmm?
It was his mother raised
him. Yeah, he was.
Did the scripture say that?
When they found him, he was taken to his own mother to be raised.
Yeah.
The queen found him.
Right.
And put him in his own mother's care.
And notice it says, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives. It doesn't say midwives of the Hebrews, but I don't know. I think. And notice it says they feared God too. But the midwives feared God. You think the Egyptians were fearing the God of, you know, of the Jews? I don't think so.
Yep.
I think these were Hebrews.
Exodus 1:15, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shapira and the name of the other Pua, and he said, "And you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and feed them upon the stools. If it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live."
Okay, those two names. What do those two names mean? I don't know either now. And I thought Gil said that was a Hebrew names, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, that, identify them as Hebrews.
Yeah, they're Hebrew midwives.
Yeah, he said, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shapra, and the name of the other Pua.
You got to figure, there's 2 million Hebrews right now, and they got 2 midwives. They cover all the pregnant women.
So
they couldn't cover everything.
They couldn't cover everything. And they made excuses down here if you read it. But anyway, make a long story short, they feared God. And then his parents hid him, what, 3 months? Isn't that what it says? It's hid 3 months of his parents. Because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, so they concealed his birth, and then they hid, not only they concealed his birth, but they hid him in some part of the house, evidently, for 3 months because they saw he was a proper child. Now, they saw that by faith. That word proper child, that was interesting. I have some notes down here. I don't know. Evidently, they knew something that this son was to be the promised deliverer, maybe. I don't know. But in Acts chapter 7, verse 20. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. What does that say, Brother Keith? Acts 7.
Get there.
I think this speaks about the same thing, if I remember right.
7:20?
Yeah.
In which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. When he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son.
Okay. Well, it says he was exceedingly fair. Okay. The word exceedingly fair is beautiful to God, according to the lexicon. In fact, Young's Little has it fair to God. In other words, this was not just some natural beauty or anything like that, but he was beautiful to God. And so his parents knew that. And so they must have known that he was chosen for a purpose and that he was beautiful to God, and therefore they acted in faith. And they hid him, and then eventually, you know what happened, you know the story. They put him in a little ark, and then Pharaoh's daughter finds him, and all that worked out according to God's providence, didn't it? And it's interesting that they were supposed to drown these children in the river, right? I think, if I remember right. And yet this same river was the salvation of Moses in that sense. So that was interesting too. I think I heard that note somewhere back then. I don't know. Anyway, verse 24. By faith, Moses, now the previous verse spoke of the previous verse spoke of the faith of his parents, but now it speaks of the faith of Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So we see some things here. He refused, then he chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God, not just his brethren. It wasn't, but he chose to, you know, suffer with his
brethren according to the flesh. Now it says the people of God. So that we have to talk about the overtime. So we got to stop. But we'll pick up here next Sunday. What's the date today?